You will open our eyes to your word like never before. Our understanding will be illuminated. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Appreciate God with a wonderful clapping offering. Come on. Hallelujah. We started a series last week on the principle of honor. How many of you have been so blessed with what we taught last week? Shout hallelujah. You see, my major concern is to see it become our practical lifestyle. It is not enough teaching about honor when we don't manifest it in our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, I want us to start today by looking at deeper meaning of principle. Principles, they are values set, you know, for a person. It is usually no respecter of any person. Anybody who obeys a principle, the principle will work for that person. Principle is like a law, like a natural law that works for anyone as far as you can obey it, just like you have the law of gravity. The law of gravity has is that anyone who jumps up, either you are born again or you are not born again, either you are old or young, fair income, if you jump up, where are you coming? You are coming down. Principle is respecter of no man. If you respect principle, principle will respect you. If you break principle, principle will break you. And so, you discover that many people who are not principled in life, who don't follow principle or who don't respect principle, their life is usually not something to be reckoned with. They don't respect principle. There's a principle that we call the principle of prosperity. It doesn't matter how many hours you speak in tongues. You speak in tongues, you go in trance, you see vision. If you don't respect the principle of prosperity, it will not respect you. And it is the reason why you see so many believers who are not functioning in financial prosperity. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you this. If an unbeliever will be diligent in his business, wake up, there's a woman on my street. I respect that woman. She's not a Christian. Every morning, 7 a.m., she will open her shop. 7 a.m. She will not leave her shop until 9 p.m. at night. From one shop, the shop increased to two. From two, I think this is my third year on that street. From two, it increased to three. And there are believers. In fact, there's a CNS church close to that place. Some of the members of the CNS church owns a shop in that street. They will not come out to open their shop until 10 a.m. That 10 a.m., they will sit around the shop, gisting with people moving around. This woman will wake up early morning, 7 a.m. If you are going to the office, you buy something from her. But these people who have churches close to them, who are members of the same church, they will tell them visions. The only one is clear, doing talk, Barry Emma Street supermarket. But they will not open their shop until 10 a.m. The woman increased, only her, and I know many, they would have been gossiping her. Diligence. If you respect the law, the principle of diligence, it will respect you. The Bible says, haven't you seen a man who is diligent in his business? He did not say, haven't you seen a born-again man? A tongue-speaking scripture quoting, a white garment-wearing man. Haven't you seen a man who attends church every day? No. He says, haven't you seen a man diligent in his business? There are many believers who should have prospered like Dangote. You know, we have this belief in the Christendom that when somebody is prospering, it is the devil. These men find out that there are principles God has set to operate, to make things work on earth. Though they are not believers, they understood this principle, they work with this principle, and it answered for them. So principle is something you must, every individual, you must have a principle for your life. And that's why Jesus gave us certain principles as believers that we should obey, that we should follow. One of the major principles that Jesus spoke about, the lack of that principle in his own people refused them from receiving from him. Praise God. One of the things Jesus said that shocked me most, he said, even a prophet does not have, Jesus said it himself. We know his brothers, his father is a carpenter. Jesus, he affirmed it and said, I agree and I affirm to the fact that even a prophet is not honored, but among his own people. He was talking to them because they are of their like, but for the Christian church, it shouldn't be like that. That was why Paul kept teaching them
about honor. Now, honor is a virtue through which something great and something of value is transferred to us. An opening through which something is transferred. Last week when I was teaching you, I told you that the anointing you don't honor cannot bless you. It doesn't matter how close you are to a man. If your father is anointed, your father has a church, your father has several network of churches, and you don't honor him, the fact that he's your father does not change the principle of honor. It's what position you to partake of the value or a virtue somebody has. If you are close to somebody and the person carries a virtue, partake from what he carries. You must position yourself in the place of honor. When you put yourself in the place of honor, in my own understanding, the Lord opened my eyes and I saw honor from two perspectives. I called it this way, I put it this way, the vertical face of honor and the horizontal face of honor. The vertical face of honor is honoring those who are above you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother, people above you. Horizontal face of honor is honoring your friends, church members. You know, as we are preaching honor now, people will be thinking, well, they say I should honor my pastor. I should honor. But the Bible says, he said, one of the things you owe to yourself as believers is to honor one another. So honor is not about parents. It's not about my pastor. It's not just about, I want to tap something from him. No. The Bible says you should honor yourselves. As you are seated together as members of the body of Christ, you should honor. There's a church, their motto is this. Anywhere they see themselves, they say, I celebrate you. That's their language. I honor you. It doesn't matter how old, how young, anywhere. Now, they don't wait for you to say it before they respond. If I'm the first person to see you, I'll just say, bless you, sir. I honor you. I celebrate you. So, there is a vertical face of honor where you have to, is a must, to honor those ahead of you, those whom God has placed as authority over your life, your parents, your pastors, your ministers, your prophet, whosoever God has placed on top of your life, you should honor them. Many people will say, I don't need any man. Must I honor somebody to be blessed? Yes. There is nothing God will do without a man on earth. Because when God created and gave man dominion, he said, let us give man dominion. There is no way God will bless you without using a man. It doesn't matter how much God loves you, how much you love God, how many hours you spend praying. It is not possible. I say it capitally. God cannot bless you without using a man. When God wanted to redeem the whole mankind, he looks for a human being. It is possible for Jesus to just appear and say, I am Jesus. I have come. No. God respects the fact that dominion has been given to mankind. Of God, if you are not blessed, or the fault of the man whom God wants to use, if you are not blessed, it will be your fault who refuse to show honor to whom God has designed for your blessings. It will not be the fault of God. It will not be, because let me tell you something. Some of us, via dishonor and ignorance, people that should help us, that should introduce us to the next level. Listen to me. I was listening to Mike Murdock. Mike Murdock said, for you to get to anywhere in life, it takes the distance of 3 to 4 men. As I'm here now, if I need to get to Oshibanjo presently, by tomorrow, by God's grace, I know somebody that knows the governor of Kwara State. If God wants to connect me to Oshibanjo in the next 24 hours, it's even too much for God. The channel is this. There will be an attention that will come upon my life. The man who knows Governor Ahmed, we call Governor Ahmed, Governor Ahmed will reach Oshibanjo. Somehow in the next 4 hours, I can be standing before Oshibanjo. If I honor the channel, say after me, say channel. If I honor the channel to get there, I'm going to be using somebody today as a case study. David. The Bible says even Saul could not stand before Goliath. David came like a vagabond and said, who is this? Who is this dirty man defiling the armies of the host of Israel? They took him to the king and he explained to the king. He said, sir, I have a profile. A lion came into my father's flocks. A bear came. I rescued a lamb alive. Now, when he went to the king, he submitted himself first to the king. He said, my lord. He called Saul. You know, another person will just leave. A king that can't kill ordinary Goliath. You know, pride will come upon his life. All through the life of David, He lived like a prince in the house of Saul. Why? He honored Saul. Even when the women of the city made a chorus when David was coming back from the killing of the Philistine, the Bible said they began to sing. Saul, imagine singing like this. Saul killed 1,000. David killed at his teenage age. Saul pa egberun. David pa egberun. That should enter his head. But instead of that getting into his head, it got into the head of Saul. As if that was not enough. That was the reason Saul began to chase after his life. But something happened in 1 Samuel chapter 24. When Saul chased the life of David to a point, David had the opportunity to kill Saul. Saul was sleeping. Even his guards were sleeping. And the Bible says, he says the heart. Give me 1 Samuel chapter 24. Give me from verse 5. He said the heart of David pricked him because, look up everybody. And it came to pass afterward that David had smote him because he had cut Saul's skirt. This is a man chasing. You know, for some of us now, we look at it as an opportunity. Let me show you what he respected. Give me verse 6. And he said, the Lord bid everybody want to go. The Lord forbid. Even after he cut part of his skirt, the Bible says his heart smote him like remorse. He had a remorse feeling. You know, the way some of us talk about servants of God, even our own pastor, there's no atom of what I'm doing is wrong. He's a man. He says something. He said, and he said unto me, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing. He called him master. He's the Lord's anointed. Even though as at that time, he knew Paul has missed it in ministry. He knew. It was evidence in 1 Samuel 16 that David has been chosen over Saul as a king. He was anointed. He knew it. Right inside of him, he knew he was going to take over the throne. But he still respected the fact that once upon a time, the oil of God came upon Saul. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. He said, to stretch forth my hand against him. Seeing he is the anointed. Can I talk to you? David honored was the reason Absalom could not kill him. Am I talking to someone here? If David had killed this, now Absalom would have been the one that would take the throne of David. Number one, he did not respect David as his spiritual leader. The Bible says, and Absalom stood by the gates of the city. When men are going to his father to tell the king about their issue, he will corner them. He began to gather people. He formed a caucus with his father. Now, David was not just his biological father. David was his political leader. He was his spiritual father. Praise the Lord. When David heard that Ahithophel is now in the camp of Absalom, he come and he said, begin to pray that David will not hearken to the advice of Ahithophel. Absalom. Absalom had all the opportunity to overthrow. The reason he never became a king was because he refused to honor the king. Praise the Lord. So when you honor is a seed. When you sow it upward to those ahead of you, you are creating your own space up there. You can never get up when you dishonor those who are there. There's a saying, they say, as you are going up the ladder, honor and respect those on the way up. Because if you are trying to come down, you will still meet them there. You see, Proverbs 18 and verse 16. The gift of a man maketh room. Maketh room. But it is his character that will keep him in the room. There was something David did. David made Jonathan his friend. It's possible for David to have despised Jonathan and say, your father could not kill Goliath. Even you couldn't kill Goliath. He honored Jonathan as a prince. Now, he obeyed both the vertical and horizontal face of honor. And let me tell you something. When you refuse to honor your mates and you think, I should only honor my parents, I should only honor those who are ahead of me in ministry, the head of my unit, you will lose relationship. And there's nothing you can do on this earth without relationship. Nobody likes to stay around arrogant people. If you're somebody, you don't celebrate people, you dishonor people. When you are that kind of person, a time will come in your life when you will need those people, you won't see them. People love to go around those who will honor them. It doesn't matter how small or how young. Look at children. When you are a kind of person that celebrate children, they will run around you. So, not just respect elders, respect people around you. Jonathan was the reason, one of the key person God used. Because when David was in his honeymoon, was when Saul thought to kill him. He was with his wife, newly wedded wife. And Saul said, go. And it was Jonathan that sent one of his servants. He said, go tell David now to leave that room. As soon as David killed Goliath and came into the palace, and he begins to jump around and see everybody as not equal to him, he would have died cheaply like an animal. Say after me, say honor. Come on, say louder, say honor. And so, beloved in the Lord, I beg you in the name of God, don't joke with this. Don't joke with this. It is very important. Shout hallelujah. Quickly, I want to give you a rundown because of time. Our time is fast spent. 4 ways to honor your ministers. Write it down. 4 ways. Last week, I gave you about 5 reasons why people don't honor their ministers. Why people don't honor those in authority. Why people don't honor their pastors and their prophet. And one of them is familiarity. When men are too familiar, I gave you one as familiarity. Number two, when they know the weakness and the secret life of their minister. When they know the secret life, when they know their minister has done something, has a past, and if the past is replaying itself in his present life, those are the reason. And I gave you that, I'm saying it for the sake of those who are not here. When they yield to rebellious spirit, we saw an example of Alexander in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9, the Bible gave another example of Demas. Demas who rejected Paul even in the point of ministry. Another reason why people dishonor their ministers is pride. Pride. Where you can preach better than your pastor. You prophesy better. You see, let me tell you something. One of the things that have made people fall is what they have. When you have something, especially talent, when you are not very careful, the Bible made me to understand something. In, I think 2 Kings chapter 4 or thereabout. When Elisha followed after Elijah, the Bible says he had 7 portions of what Elijah carried. Now, before he had that 7 portion, he was in the school of prophet. He was a trainee. To a point that when he was going, there were company of prophet called the sons of the prophet. They were all in the school of prophet, but they were under another master, not Elijah. Am I communicating? Now, when Elisha was coming back, after they discovered that he carried, the Bible says, and all the company of prophets, they stood before Elisha and bowed themselves to him. They were in the same class before. I was telling them in Bible study that Heward Mills was ministering, and he said something. How many of you know Archbishop Duncan Williams? Hallelujah. Yeah. Many of us don't know him. Bishop Duncan Healy Williams is a wonderful man of God in Ghana. The Lord is using him. He preached a message that made him become, you know, the talk of the whole world. The pattern of the bloodline. That was how I got to know him. The pattern of the blood. That message, up to now, changing lives. That man was confessing that Heward Mills was invited to preach in the church of that man. The man has become so old and his church very small. He started ministry the same time with Duncan Williams. He now told that Heward Mills. He said that Heward Mills, don't make the mistake that I made. And that Heward Mills asked him, what was your mistake? He said, I attended the same seminary with Duncan Williams. We were in the same class. He said, the Lord told me to honor him because he carried a greater anointing. He said, but I said to myself, were we not same mates in the same class, in seminary? He said, but now it's too late. He said, early in his ministry, the Lord showed him that Duncan Williams carried something he needed. The Lord revealed to him that there's something I put in Duncan Williams that you need. Let me tell you something. God does not waste resources. When God has put what you need in people, he won't waste time. Again, point it on. He will ask you to go to. That's why God gives us mentors. That's the reason for fathers in the spirit. And so it doesn't matter how long you stay on the mountain, 21 days. He will only show you who carry what you need. Go and meet him. The man said, now I'm regretting it. He said, but it's too late. That Heward Mills told him. He said, you can still go back to him. He said, it's too late. He said, what I ought to have gotten years ago to transform the face of my ministry. Because I was looking at him as my mate in seminary. It's possible the man had a higher grade than Duncan Williams when they were in school. It can be more challenging when God puts what you need in somebody that is not old, that is not as old as you are. If you are not very careful at that point, you may miss it. Because you'll be looking at age. When God does not consider age. That was how Miriam missed it. She carried 4 ways to honor your minister. 4 ways to honor your mentors. Four ways to honor those whom God has given authority over your life. Four ways to honor your parents. Can I talk to you? Principle of honor is a seed. If you sow it in the wrong place, you will not have the harvest. As I'm talking to you now, I'm talking to you about honor. As you are writing, you are like somebody being given seed and you are keeping it. If you don't plant, where does practice come in? Where does action come in? When you sow the seed, that is when you will have harvest. Hearing it does not produce the results. Many of us read books. You have read books about honor. You have heard messages about honor. It does not bring the harvest of honor until you become the practitioner of the principle. In fact, some of us have thought about it, but we don't practice it. One of the dangerous things that can happen to a minister is to preach what you don't practice. And so you see a woman that respects her boss in the office because of salary, but does not honor her husband at home. She's sowing the seed in the wrong place. If your pastor comes to your pastor, your husband at home, you don't honor him. You have the seed, you are not sowing it appropriately. It doesn't matter how many men of God you honor and they lay hands on you. If you don't honor your parents, you go nowhere. I was telling them about Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer's father raped her more than 200 times. I don't think there's any statistic of rape like that a father will rape a daughter. I don't think there's any. As far as I'm concerned, that happens because the mother was aware. The pain is that her mother knew her father was raping. And when she started her ministry, she was praying, God, what will I do to change the face of this ministry? I want to step forward. And God spoke to her, build house for your father and your mother and feed them, take care of them until they die. She said she struggled with that for months. A man who raped her. She said, anytime she goes to prayer, God will tell her, I already told you what to do. Is God talking to someone here and you are refusing? The devil is telling you, you don't need it. We are all children of God. Bishop Oyedepo is preaching about honor. And he says something. He says, some of you will say, we are all brethren. We have joint heads. There are things that must be followed. Why do we have children of God who have become spiritual bastards? They abuse their fathers in the spirit. They abuse their fathers in the Lord. They spoke against them. Listen to me. One thing you should be careful of is knowledge. Paul said, knowledge can puff you up, can make you become proud. That is when it's not an exact knowledge of Christ. You think you know it. Why? They think they knew so much, and some of them pointed fingers at the fathers. They abused them. Men who grew up a church, you did not leave that church. They trained you in that same church, and you pointed fingers at them and cursed them, though they drink, though they have four wives, but they are anointed. Don't joke with them. Some of them may not understand the scripture. They may not be able to quote the Bible. It does not change the fact that God has once called them his own. And the calling and the gift of the Lord has no repentance. Just like Saul. The fact that he missed it to a point that Saul started consulting witches. It did not change the fact that he still has the oil. And so when you get to know the weakness and the fault of some of these our fathers, the best thing is to pray for them. If you can't pray for them, advise them. If you can't advise them, keep quiet. If you can't keep quiet, leave the environment. Say, help me, God. So, number one, appreciation. Learn one of the ways. You know, some of you would have been like, how will I share honor? One of the ways to show you honor people is to appreciate what they do. When you honor your minister, you tell them, sir, since when I joined this church, I've been blessed. That is the strength you give to them. That's honor. After my wife gave birth in my presence, I went and I said, Mommy, I never knew this is what it takes. Call your mom and say, Mommy, thank you that you did not abort me. Why did she abort you? Another mother threw her own baby on the street. Honor. Appreciate them. How do you show appreciation? In material gifts. Some of you, when last did you buy something and like a surprise for your parents? Both spiritual and biological. Just surprise. It's not something big. Don't say, I don't have money. Look for something. Surprise your mother this week. And your ministers. You see, in CNS, one of the things that have kept people from growing is the kind of regard. Men don't have regard for ministers in this. Listen to me. When I'm saying this, I'm not talking a hearsay. I have traveled over 26 states of this country, ministering in different churches. I know. I've been in churches. Let me not go into that. A church prophet cannot send his own children to school. On Christmas Day, he can't take them out to ShopRite. The church will gather around and buy him one mudu of rice. No regard. Give me Galatians 6 and from verse 6. Many of you don't know how to communicate to your ministers. You don't communicate to them because they have need. You communicate to them because it is your responsibility. While will somebody like David Oyedepo still be collecting gift of car? When he somebody that has more than 4 jets, people still give car. These people understand that it is not what he has. It is what we are trying to get. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth him in all good things. Another version says, let those who are being taught, as I'm teaching you spiritual things, this spiritual understanding you are getting, it is what translates into your material prosperity. So what the scripture is saying, that communicate back to me. I'm not teaching you this because I'm in a need so that you can do it. I'm teaching you because this, one of the things I have agreed with myself, I have stopped assuming that church people know some things. I will teach you everything that I think you should know as a church. Because somebody, I was with the supervising pastor of the whole CNS church movement, and I was talking with him. If you call people and say, there's a need, there was a time God laid upon my heart a prophet in my church. The Lord told him to buy, told me that they should buy a car for him. It's an insult. At times when you go, you see the leader of the church, his clothes not washed. This man will trek from his church. He will trek. He will go and buy food. The church, your own church, and you will see him in car, in your own car with this, and you drive off. Appreciate. And when the Lord laid upon my heart that we should buy a car for him, as at then, I think I just started working in bank. I did not even have a car myself. And I announced in church. It has never happened. It was a strange thing. I made an altar call that men should buy car. Many people stood against it. There are people who will not do this. You should run away from such people. They will stop you from being blessed. We bought that car. We bought God for him. And I'm not surprised of what the Lord has made of my life today. There are things that don't work by prayer. They work by principle. This is not everything that answers to prayer. Certain things answer to principle. Appreciate them. It is not so much, even if it is card, empty. I have some of my sons in the Lord that sends just 100 naira. I went to be there to minister. And the Lord ministered to one lady. The Lord blessed the lady so much under my ministration. And she came and sent 1,000 naira. Ordinarily, if I want to buy airtime, I buy highest, it's 500. Maybe it's because it's a culture. Not because I don't have the money, but highest that I will buy is 500. When she sent that credit to me, you know, it was as if, and that's why there are things you should look for to bless people. At times, giving them money does not make anything. Look for something they like. It may be clothes. It may be card. It may be a book, a Christian literature. My wife knows the tomorrow. If she wants to buy anything, maybe wedding anniversary, she knows what I like. Look for what your mother, your minister, what do they like? Isaac said, go and make for me a venison that after I have eaten, that I may release this thing upon you. When it flows from you, so that it can flow from me. Number one. Number two, I said appreciation. Number two, support them. How? In prayer. One of the ways to honor your minister is to mention their names in your prayer. There's the scripture where the Bible says, when you strike the shepherd, there's no one that needs prayer like your ministers. Because the devil knows the easiest way to get you is to get him. The easiest, so support them with your talent. What do you know how to do? When you see something going down in church, you know you have the talent. The best way to support the leadership of that church is to don't wait for them to call you. There are people who won't do anything. You have to pay. Some people are not sheep; they are like elephant. So even as they are coming into church, they struggle to enter the church. They can't bend down to do anything. Support. You don't need. There are things you should not announce here. There are things that does not take more than 500 naira, 1,000 naira. Look, that's the way to honor. Number three, because of time, defend your ministers. Defend them. Don't be part of those who criticize. There are people, their job in the church. How many of you have worshipped in a church where pastors have been transferred? If they bring this pastor, there's always a carcass of people. Their own is to monitor the life of a pastor. They will criticize that pastor until they take him away. If they bring another one, they will always do something. Now, they will change five persons. No one will be fit for them. Learn to defend. When you listen, one of the things, you don't need to say, "My pastor, I dishonor you." If somebody stands and talk ill, talk bad about your pastor in your presence, and you listen to him, you don't need to say anything. You have consented. So the best way is not to give ears to criticism. Hey, did you observe what pastor did? Those just said, "It's okay. Don't go there." Shut them. Don't allow them. As soon as they bring up that topic and you start discussing it, you dishonor. And let me tell you something. The anointing, the man may not know you honor or you don't dishonor him, but the anointing upon him, the call upon him knows. Support them with your time. Find that. You see, one of the things that Jesus did to help the church is that people were given varieties of gifts so that we could complete it. Your pastor does not have all the gifts. You saw now I play keyboard. After sometimes I left it. If assuming all that is here is rhythm guitar, I'll be looking at it. That's why God positioned people in different. But the pastor, the prophet, whosoever God has placed, does not know everything. Cannot do everything. If you see a pastor that tells you that I can do everything, he's lying to you. That's why you should use your time and resources to support them. Area of visitation. If you think there's someone in the church that has not been, that's one of the ways to honor. A church member will come. New person. Your own responsibility is to walk up to the person. How are you? We are seeing it for the first time. It's not a must that it is pastor's job. I mean, make friends. Build relationship. The reason some people don't come to sub church is because of the face of the members. It's only the pastor that will greet him and say, "How are you? We are seeing it for," and you leave. Nobody will smile and say, "You are welcome. How are you?" Nobody. My church in Kano, I invited some people. They said, "The reason we can't come to your church is because you have carcass. You have people you smile with. When newcomers come, you don't see them as there's this carcass of Awala Wambe." No. In the body of Christ, the service, honor everybody. "How are you? I have not seen you in church." You must not be a head of a unit to ask of someone, "Hello, I didn't see you in church on Sunday. What happened?" That's the way to honor your minister. That's the way to support them. Number four, obedience. This is the main. If you appreciate me, you support me, you defend me, but you don't obey my instructions. Obedience. When instruction, come to Bible study, 5 p.m., obedience. Workers meeting, 7 a.m., obedience. Prayer unit, come, obedience. And this goes to all the head of the units. If you are not supporting the head of your unit, indirectly you have not supported the shepherd of the church. Because if things are not working well in that unit, you will give him headache. Obedience. One of the greatest ways to honor any man God has put upon your life, as a mentor, as a spiritual father, as a pastor, as an authority over your life, is to obey what they tell you. Obey their instructions. When a sheep does not listen to the voice of the shepherd, he is prone to being taken away by predators. I want to honor my minister. Obey what they tell you. I started this year by telling you that one of my major plans is to make sure every one of you, anywhere anybody meets you and they say you are a member of Spirit Life, they have seen a minister. I want to build a church of leaders that each individual can stand anywhere and defend this gospel. I don't just want to build followers. I want to build. I'm a leader. I'm a ladder that helps people connect to their destiny. I don't want you to keep following me like dumbies, donkeys who don't know what they do. I want you to yourself to become a spiritual giant. The Bible says, the men that it was not only David that killed giants. And one man was special. The Bible says, he killed 800 men once. When about 400 of them came, the Bible said they were hoodlums when they came to meet David in the wilderness. But as they followed David's instruction, they were built into men that killed. Listen, when you obey your minister, the oil upon him rubs on you. There are many men that killed giants apart from David. But when they came and met David and said, "Become king over us," they were men that were destitute. They had nowhere to go. When are we going to rise to the acknowledgement of this fact? That your talent alone is not enough. Go and read this book by John Maxwell. Talent is not enough. And so when we started this year, I told you something. I said, I want you all to start reading. And I recommended books. Some people did not even care to. Some got it, they did not read it. You don't show honor that way. You show honor by obeying instructions. Let's have a fast for Wednesday. Everyone have a fast. Now, some of you have every opportunity to come to Bible study. Just be Sunday, it's the same thing. I'm going to be rounding up with this case study of Hannah in Shiloh in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says, and Hannah was muttering, and Prophet Eli came in. The next thing, you, this woman, you are drunk again. An average Christian woman of our generation, her pastor met her praying, and he said, you, this woman. And now I know your true colors. She answered, she said, my Lord, I am only a woman that is in need, pouring out her grief. Now, do you know what Eli said to her? She responded with honor. Eli said, as you have asked, if you are not very careful, if you have a man of God, a pastor, a mentor that is tough, the devil will use that side of his life to block your blessing. The way Eli responded to her was so abusive. He said, leave this place. The same mouth that insulted her was the same mouth that he said, as you have asked. The Bible said the following year, she came. The place that struck me, that she did not just honor him at that point. When she had the result, she brought it to him. She submitted her Samuel to Eli. What a honor. And said, let him serve you and serve the Lord in the temple. She submitted it. It's so easy at times. People honor their ministers when they are in need, when they are looking for a job. Taban watching. See people tell you everywhere because they know you pray for them. As soon as money comes, one of the people, set of people that have caused more havoc in churches are rich people. When the minister begins to preach what they don't like, they form a carcass. They start using their money to destroy things. Go and watch them. Rich people, when your money begins to control you, you use your money to fight God instead of sponsoring the gospel. A particular woman in Matthew, I think Matthew 15 or thereabout, she came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my daughter is sick. Jesus said, no, how can I give the bread that is meant for children? You know what Jesus called her? To dogs. Imagine from Jesus. The woman said, no, my Lord. Even dogs. Hey! Even dogs eat from the crumbs that fell from. Listen. Another woman will stand up. They call you Messiah. Is this how Messiah should behave? You are calling me dog. She said, no. Even dogs. Jesus said, I have never seen, even in Israel. Do you know the interpretation? Even the owners of this bread don't have this kind of understanding you have. Because he was saying this bread belonged to the children of Israel, to the household of Israel. What Jesus said there was that even those who own the bread do not honor me the way you are honoring me. He said, go, your daughter is healed. Be careful. When you start seeing the fault of a minister of God, it's either you go on prayer that God should shut that side that you shouldn't see it, or leave that environment. I say it and I will repeat it. You cannot be blessed in a church where you don't honor the shepherd. It's not a curse. It's a reality of the scriptures. Just as much as it is that if you don't honor your biological parent, you can't be blessed. If you don't honor your spiritual parents, you can't be blessed. So this is a principle we must get into our heart and practice it. The devil knows that he can't tempt you with fornication. He knows you have grown above that. He knows he can't tempt you with gouda anymore. He knows he can't tempt you with paraga anymore. But he has a way, if you are not very careful, of blocking you, to make you dishonor. Number one, your parents. I beg you. One thing I want you to do this week. Do something to surprise your mother and your father. I don't know why the Lord is putting my heart towards this. Some of you have prayed enough. It is just something you need to practice. They are not witch. They are not wizard. But they carry something that you need. That scripture is in 1 Samuel 24 to 9 about David. Matthew 15 from verse 21 to 22. It says, believe in the Lord thy God, you shall be established. Believe in his prophet, and you shall what? You shall prosper. Believe in what they say. Obey them. Prosperity is not far. God will establish you, but he needs them to make you prosper. God cannot do. Not may not do. He cannot do anything without using a man on earth. Why did the angel not preach to Cornelius? It is man that is given the authority to preach the gospel, not angels. God had to tell Cornelius, go. Though he saw an angel, he had a vision. But the angel could not deliver the package. Or the men through whom God has spoken through by angels, they became the angels need men to deliver what God has given. That's why they show men the dream and the vision. They have limitation on earth. Because we have the terrestrial authority here. They don't have. Anything that does not have body does not have authority here. And that was why for God himself to come, he looked for a body. For God, because he honors his word. You will not miss it. I say it again, you will not miss it. Finally, let me close with this. Romans 12 and verse 10. I want to lay more emphasis on this. The time is short today, so I will look into other things next week. Let's read it. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. I put it to you. Don't just honor me. Don't just honor Pastor Tunde. Don't just honor your parents. Honor yourself. Don't wait until one church member. What used to cause problem in churches is that onwo mi ko kimi onduro kin ki ohun. Omo 70s ni mo mo gba tan bi. Omo this thing, there's no age in the body of Christ. Mo mo gba to graduate now tori ko ti wa fe yawo saju mi. No. Don't wait. Honor. Preferring, another version say, honor one another. Show brotherly love. There's this place in the Bible that says no one should take him to think of himself more highly esteemed than others. Ibeni gbera gati wole. I have a car, he doesn't have a car. These are things that unbelievers have. They don't even think about it. An unbeliever will have 6 cars. Show family affection one to another with brotherly love. Outdo one another. Meaning is this. Before you greet me, I have come to greet you. Outdo one another in honor. Show appreciation. Out quickly do it. Don't be waiting for me. Don't do it because you are older or is younger. Do it because the scripture says it. When you show it to one, if unbelievers subject people to honor them, the Holy Spirit does not subject. He wants us to submit. There's a difference between you subjecting, being subjected to the military. You are subjected to do. To honor, you like it or not, you have to, or you find yourself in the cell. In the kingdom, we are taught to give ourselves, which is called submission. We don't subject people. If you don't honor me as your minister, I will never force you to honor me. I will only teach you to submit. If anyone force you to do anything, it is not anything you are being forced. Even God doesn't force people. Salvation that is for the whole world doesn't force people. They only teach people. May your understanding be illuminated. Rise up to your feet and and say, I receive grace to practice what I have learned. Open your mouth and pray. I receive grace to be a practitioner of the principle of honor. I will show honor to my parents. I will appreciate them. I will support them. I will support my minister. Open your mouth and pray. I receive grace to practice these things. Is the Bible say it is not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to read it. It's not enough to jot it. But it is important to become a practitioner of it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' Amen. Mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the grace. Jesus.